This is just unhinged. The radical left are going to shut down the government and inflict massive pain on the American people unless they get their $1.5 trillion wish list of demands. The Trump administration wants to keep the government open for the American people. This is not a campaign email. This is not Truth Social or whatever. This is just the Housing and Urban Development .gov website.
So, Caroline, I know the president is supposed to be with top congressional leaders today. I've heard that they want more funding for illegals, NPR funding, USAID. That seems like some things that are dead on arrival coming to the
world. That's what we're fighting for in shutdown. The Democrats are like, we need all of the funding for illegal health care. Please, God, that's what the Democrats want. Like, how can you listen to this? Well, they do. But think about how mind rotted the average conservative is that they listen and they just like agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Democrats are probably they're probably fighting right now for infinite funding for illegal immigrant health care. Like, who? Like, keep in mind, you've never in your life seen a single Democratic leader, a single Democratic lawmaker, a single Democratic president. Nobody's fighting for this. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody on the left is actually signaling this. You've just heard it said over and over and over again by these insane people on Fox News.
White House, what can you tell us?
Let me be very clear about the president and the White House's position. All we are asking for is a common sense, clean funding resolution.
Common sense. Oh.
A continuing resolution to keep the government open. This is a bill that keeps the government funded at the exact same levels as today, just adjusted for inflation. So there is zero good reason for the Democrats to vote against this, especially when the Democrats have voted for this 13 previous times as recently as March. And so this is the reasonable and common sense thing to do. The president is giving Democrat leadership one last chance to be reasonable, to come to the White House today to try to talk about this. And now is not the time to try to get political points against Donald Trump. Now is the time to do right by the American people and keep the government funded. Our most vulnerable in our society and our country will be impacted by a government shutdown. Everybody knows this. And that's why Republicans and the president want to keep the government open. And we welcome Democrats to join us in that effort.
So, Caroline, the president usually comes in with leverage, or he always has something, whether it's a country or it's a group. So is he having this meeting just to hear them say, I want this? And he's going to in turn come back and say, I'm not giving it to you. I had the meeting and be done with it. Like, what could he give? For example, could he agree not to have any more rescission packages for 6 months? Could he agree to visit some of these things if they fund for the next few weeks? Can you give me an idea of any give and take that might be on the table?
Well, look, Brian, the leverage is in the president's hands because the overwhelming majority of the
American people voted for him. They all voted for him.
Wants to keep the government open. I mean, it's not even close. Democrats and Republicans, independents across the country want the government funded because they want our military and our troops to be paid. They want TSA agents and Border Patrol to be paid. They want food assistance programs for women and children in impoverished communities to continue going out the door. All of that will come to an end if Democrats vote against this clean CR that Republicans are proposing. And might I just add, Chuck Schumer and
I love all the adjectives that they add to things, like the one big beautiful bill, the clean CR, not like the other dirty, filthy CRs. This continuing resolution is clean, Kino clean.
Jeffries are on the record multiple times in their past political lives stating that they too believe a government shutdown is bad. In fact, I quote, Chuck Schumer just last year in 2024 said a shutdown would mean chaos and pain and needless heartache for the American people. Well, we hope that Chuck Schumer and the Democrats won't cause chaos and pain and heartache. We want our country to continue to be funded. We want our government to be open so we can continue doing the business of the American people.
Caroline, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, Caroline. Yeah.
Besides that,
not much happening at the White House today.
Very busy today. Wow.
Want even more Fox News on YouTube? Become a Fox News.
That Republicans are serious about addressing the health care crisis that they've caused, but simply want to kick the can down the road and expect us to take a Hail Mary promise. That's unreasonable, that's unacceptable, and it's...
Also, I don't know if they've picked up this talking point yet, okay? But listen, the dumbest thing that I saw, I swear to God if they f***ing do it. Oh, thank God! Okay, if somebody was right in chat where they said no stopgap funding... I don't know where this thing comes from of like, how about 10 more days so we have time to figure shit out? Excuse me, you've had time. Why do you need 10 more days? Have you not been doing your fucking job? What about all the days leading up to, what about the last 10 days? Like, it's not like this is a magical deadline that just popped up, right? You've known about this since the last continuing resolution was passed, I imagine, right? So how is it that you now need 10 more days? What the fuck? That's what Schumer said? Oh, good. Okay, good. He said exactly that. Thank you.
Discuss whatever
Wait.
Reforms.
Okay, we will listen to
it.
Sorry.
Now. Yes.
Now that you present these issues directly to the president, would you propose or would you support a 7 to 10 day CR?
No.
So there's more time.
No, we have to do it now.
Thank you.
The time is a wasting. We have to do it now. We've delayed and delayed and delayed. As I said, as Martin Luther King once said, later means never.
Yes.
They don't want to do this, the Republican leaders, because they're right wing. It'll divide their party.
True.
Their right wing hates ACA altogether.
True.
But we have to get it done. And the president, the way to do this is the president, who is really listening to us, tells the Republicans to do it.
Okay, about timing.
Yeah.
House Democrats are here. Senate Democrats are here. The Senate is ready to act.
House Republicans cancel votes. They're on vacation right now all across the country, and some are spread out across the world. They're not serious.
True.
About actually reaching a bipartisan agreement.
They are.
That meets the needs of the American people. If House Republicans were serious, they'd be here right now.
Why can't I pause?
And there was no explanation in that meeting.
They are not serious. That is very true. Thank you. Okay. I have to forgive your cucked Eric Adams statement.
From the Speaker of the House of Representatives as to how possibly votes could be canceled. And at the same time, people are supposed to believe that Republicans are serious about addressing the health care crisis that they've caused.
True.
But simply want to kick the can down the road.
True.
And expect us to take a Hail Mary promise. That's unreasonable. That's unacceptable. And it's divorced from reality.
If you ever wanted proof that Republicans want to shut down because they're afraid of this vote, look at when the Speaker scheduled the House to come back in after a shutdown.
True.
We said to him, renew it so that people are.
Thank you.
Thank the leader for letting me borrow his chart for a minute. So he's pointed to each of these bar graphs, percentage of Democratic senators who supported Biden and their CRSs. Yes, that's.
How many of these involve bipartisan negotiation, though?
That's true. Guess why? In each case, Democrats negotiated with Republicans.
The Republicans, yes.
And said, let's have a bipartisan bill. The leader says it's a clean bill. It's a partisan bill. Not once were Democrats asked for what input should be in the bill. We were not told about it. We were not asked about it, etc. Nor did Speaker Johnson talk to Hakeem Jeffries. You cannot pass legislation in the Senate when it comes to appropriations unless it is bipartisan. So the leader will say it's clean. No, it's not clean, because there was no discussion. Every one of these times I went to the Republican leader and said, what do you need? What do you want? And in many cases, we had to significantly change the bill. One of our bills had aid to Ukraine. The Republicans didn't want it. To avoid shutting down the government, we talked to them, negotiated, and took it out. But not once, was there any bipartisan discussion or talk on this bill. We wanted to give our Republican colleagues a chance. That's why some of us back in March said, okay. But we saw what happened after that. We saw a decimation of health care in the BBB. So bad right now that 80% of Americans support renewing the tax credits of the ACA. We saw them use rescissions, pocket rescissions, impoundments to undo what was done in the legislative process. So the world has changed, but the one way it's changed, and there are several, and I'll get to those, one way it's changed is there was no discussion. And we asked to have meetings. Hakeem Jeffries and I asked the leader and the speaker to sit down with us as early as July.
There's no easy way to communicate this. Okay, but someone in KickShot says, seems like both sides have a visceral hate for each other, which is sad. We need to remember that we are all Americans and unifies Americans. We are on the same boat. The real enemies we should use our hatred for are Russia and China. Both sides can have hatred for each other, but I think one side is legitimate and one side is illegitimate. But the problem is that the Republicans have spent so much time creating this wild caricature of a person on the left, and then now they've treated the left like they're that caricature, and now the left is like, well, we kind of hate the Republicans now. I think that the left's hatred for the Republicans, I think, is totally legitimate right now. But the problem is that the conservative view of Democrats has been largely fictitious for decades. You need look no further than the... I'm sorry, but this... That Ben Shapiro Ezra Klein conversation is going to live in my head for like a year, rent free. Okay, planting seeds, growing huge. The roots beneath are going to destroy the foundations of my mind. Listening to him talk about all the reasons why he hates Obama—that's just insanity to me. And like, when conservatives have spent all this time saying that, like, oh, the Democrats are all Antifa, the Democrats are all radical leftist, crazy people, terrorists. It's like, okay, yeah, no shit, the conservatives hate the Democrats. But it's so stupid because they'll be like, oh, you call us fascist? Well, then how can you criticize us for calling you communists? Because when you called us communists, it didn't make any fucking sense. You called Obama communist because of the ACA and because of carbon credits. We call you fascist because you have an authoritarian single-handedly leading the state, single-handedly leading the branch of government that he's in, ignoring court orders, having a vice president who quotes the Andrew Jackson thing, oh, well, they have an order, we'll let them enforce it, right? Who is deploying the military and ICE and other feds across, like, it's not even close to a comparison. It's like, oh, well, if that side's wrong, then both sides are wrong doing it. Well, one side could be more accurate with their assessment, and the other side might be totally delusional.
They didn't. The job of a leader is a bipartisan negotiation. And the appropriators, which you'll say, are discussing things. But the two issues we care about, the two issues we care about, extending the ACA credits, broadly popular with the American people, so they don't want to talk about it, they want to change the subject, and the ending these rescissions and impoundments, which would undo what we would do, the four appropriators, when they got down and discussed it...
Seriously, that's a good chat. Randall Sampson. They talk about this like Charlie was the moderate, or he was the nice option or whatever, right? When they do that over again, we tried this, he was the nice one, you know? Fuck you, that should apply to Biden. Biden was the nice guy. Biden was the good option. Biden was the guy who came in afterwards and tried to be this president for all of America and reach across the aisle and work with people and passed a ton of legislation, some that the Republicans had wanted to pass for over a decade. Biden was the guy who came in and wanted to work with everybody and be the nicest guy possible to get shit done and tried not to demonize the other side as much as possible and tried to point out the goodness in the other side as much as he could. You guys.
They said that should be for the four leaders to discuss. That's what Thune said. That's what Cole said, the Republican head of appropriations in the House. That's what Collins said. That's what Murray said. That's what DeLauro said. They did not discuss it with us at all. So to say the appropriations process is working is wrong. It's not working. It's not working because the leaders wouldn't discuss it with us, as we discuss with Republicans on every single one of these, what should be in the bill and add the bill. Please.
So the senator from New York, the way that we've done it, and it's a different business model than the one he used, we actually have the Appropriations Committee sit down. And the date that they came up with, November 21st, was agreed upon by the House and Senate appropriators, Republican and Democrat.
Would the Speaker yield? Would the Leader yield?
I will. And the Ukraine issue you're talking about wasn't a CR. That was an entirely different issue. So don't throw that into this mix.
It was not.
But what
we're
talking about, the Democrat leader and his colleagues have the same leverage on November the 21st. This is a short-term CR. This is what we do all the time around here, as witnessed by the chart that you're just using there. 24 pages long, funds of government till November the 21st, at which time you have the same leverage then that you have right now, and we have until the end of the year to fix the ACA credit issue. And we're happy, as I said yesterday, and I said on multiple occasions, to sit down with you to do that.
What have you been doing since now? What have you been spending your time on? Like, keep in mind also, even absent Democratic participation in government, these fucking clowns, for the first time, I believe, in U.S. congressional history, like outvoted and lost their Senate majority or their House majority leader. They lost their majority leader chair, and they were begging the Democrats to help them vote for another guy to have their majority speaker position again. It's a clown show. It's a joke. How does it even happen? Not in no point in U.S. history has the majority party in the House of Representatives lost their majority speaker chair because they f***ed themselves so hard on autistic shit. And then they turned around, and even I think, I'm trying to remember what Ben Shapiro's position on this was. I think Ben Shapiro, this was back when he was still quasi-reasonable, because this was like 5 years ago, right? No. This was under Biden, wasn't it? So it might have been like 3 or 4 years ago. Didn't even Ben Shapiro say, guys, we can't look to the Democrats and beg them to vote for our guy, okay? Clearly, like, that's not how this is going to work. I think he might have still been semi-reasonable on that, but oh, my God.
Thank you. Now, reclaiming my time.
Nice.
They did not agree to the bills that the leader is talking about because they said explicitly, Democrat and Republican, there are two issues.
And that was, true. And that was McCarthy. And that was over a continuing resolution vote. True. Because they were mad because they thought McCarthy worked with Biden or whatever. Oh, my God.
To the bill.
As I said yesterday, and I've said on multiple occasions, to sit down with you to do that.
Thank you. Now, reclaiming my time.
Nice.
They did not agree to the bills that the leader is talking about because they said explicitly, Democrat and Republican, there are two issues they can't resolve, impoundments and rescissions and ACA tax credits and health care. And they all agreed, the four of them, that they couldn't agree to a bill until the leaders discussed it with us. We asked the leaders to discuss it with us in July, in the middle of August, at the end of August.
Can you explain the speaker chair thing? Like, procedurally, how did Republicans lose? I don't remember exactly, but I do remember it was either McCarthy or some other crazy MAGA dude. They changed the rules of the House. They did something so that one person could force a vote to oust the majority speaker. I don't remember why they changed this. Was it Gates that did this? Or was Gates the one that called the vote? They changed it so one person could call a vote and then oust the chair. And then I think they ousted it because they felt like he worked with Biden on something and they didn't want him to. But then they couldn't agree on who should be the majority speaker afterwards. So I think, how long was it? Was it a month? I don't remember how long it was where they didn't have, where the seat was basically just unfilled. Was it really that long? There's no way it was that long. Was it 2 weeks, 3 weeks? On October 3rd, 2023, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to remove its Speaker, Kevin McCarthy of California, through a motion to vacate filed by Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, a fellow member of the Republican Party, who was loved by MAGA for a brief period of time and now is hated. I don't even remember what for. Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking McCarthy, actually. Sorry. I don't know if Gaetz is hated. That's not true. I'm sorry. I was thinking McCarthy. This is why McCarthy is hated now. McCarthy's removal marked the first time in American history that a Speaker of the House was removed through a motion to vacate. The vacancy started a process to elect a Speaker that began following an 8-day recess. In the 118th Congress, the 2022 elections formed a narrow majority for Republicans in the House of Representatives. The Freedom Caucus, the most conservative congressional caucus of Republican representatives, secured a minority of these seats. During the speakership election for the 118th Congress, McCarthy faced significant opposition within the Republican conference from the Freedom Caucus, who saw him as untrustworthy and insufficiently conservative. After 15 rounds of voting, McCarthy was elected Speaker, conceding to his opponents. Oh, yeah, this is how he got the election. Conceding to his opponents by allowing any representative to file a motion to vacate. The potential of a government shutdown began to take hold in July of 2023, with the Freedom Caucus in demonstrations of austerity and defiance towards McCarthy, opposing spending bills to fund the government. By September, the federal government appeared poised to shut down. The Freedom Caucus furthered its warnings to McCarthy. They warned him against brokering a deal with Democrats to pass temporary appropriations legislation, asking him to pass an all-year budget with deep spending cuts instead. McCarthy, nevertheless, led the House of Representatives in passing a continuing resolution on September 30th. Its passage was reliant on bipartisan support, but more Democrats than Republicans voted in favor. On October 7th, Matt Gaetz, a member of the Freedom Caucus, filed a motion to vacate. Following an unsuccessful motion to table by Representative Tom Cole, Republican chair of the Rules Committee, Republican representatives debated McCarthy's speakership on the House floor. When the time for debate expired, the House voted to remove McCarthy, with insurgent Republicans and all Democrats present voting against him. The Speaker's chair, thank God, also, good job. I don't think Republicans or Democrats ever broke ranks on this. Thank God they never did. Jesus Christ, thank God. I would have lost my mind. I don't think they ever did, right? They just voted for their guy. The Speaker's chair was vacated, and Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, a McCarthy ally, was made Speaker pro tempore, and the House went without a proper Speaker until October 25th, so about 3 weeks. That election of Mike Johnson, an actual evil demon of Louisiana, McCarthy subsequently announced his resignation from Congress effective at the end of 2023. It's so crazy, dude.
Just in September, they refused. And now he says, give us another 45 days. Well, frankly,
Jeffrey says the most votes for Speaker in history because he got 200 plus votes all 15 rounds.
The Republicans have had 45 days since March. One 45 days, another 45 days, another 45 days.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And in the room yesterday, Johnson said he doesn't want to do it at all. He doesn't want to have any compromise. So the time to do it is now. And the idea that we can do it till January. When we talked to the president yesterday, he didn't understand this, but I know that the leader does. On October 1st, in a day or two, millions of Americans, millions.
What does the speaker do? I don't know. I can't even tell. I'm sure the speaker probably like sets the agenda, decides what votes are allowed to be held on the floor or not, like decides what legislation you're allowed to take a vote on or whatever. I'm sure probably does something with appointments or rules or some bullshit, but I think they're basically like in control of like the overall agenda or scheduling of what goes on in the House. They speak. For the majority.
On October 1st, in a day or two, millions of Americans, millions, are going to get notices that their insurance premiums will rise an average of $400 a month, $5,000 a year. A middle-class family can't afford that. We want to renew those credits, among other things in health care, but renew those credits so that people won't pay that horrible...
Sorry, somebody says the majority leader is not the speaker, different position. Is the majority leader not normally the Speaker of the House? Or are those usually different roles?
Increase. You can debate health care all you want, but the overwhelming majority of Americans...
People said they're always different. Okay, never mind. My bad.
Democrat, independent, and even a good number of Republicans want us to renew those credits. And the impoundment rescission I mean, what does the leader think? That we should go along, come to an agreement, and then let them undo it unilaterally as they've done once and now have asked to do it more? No way. That's not how you deal with this, and we never had another president who did it.
I don't know the sentence. If it, everything, was 50-50 and your job was to unite the people, would you act like you have been in the past 2 months at Destiny? If it, everything, was fit, I don't know what that means.
So I repeat, I love this chart. Democrats negotiated with Republicans. Democrats negotiated with Republicans. Democrats negotiated with Republicans, and on through the whole chart. Didn't happen this time. Leader Thune did not come once to me and say, is this bill acceptable? What do you want in the bill? So they call it clean. We call it extremely partisan. Not one discussion, House or Senate, between the two leaders. That is not how you negotiate. And that is not how you pass appropriation bills. And the Appropriations Committee is stalled by their own admission because the leader will not come and talk to us about it. Now, let me make a few other points. Republicans are heading us into a shutdown. We stand at the precipice of a government shutdown because Republicans are not serious about keeping the government open. If you want...
You also have to ask at some point, how is there so much fuckery with Trump as president over and over again? The massive protests, the riots, all the political violence, the government shutdown. Somebody said in chat earlier, if this shutdown lasts for 11 days, then the government will have been shut down under Trump longer than every other president combined in U.S. history. But this guy, remember, it's not even what Democrats called him. What did he call himself? The great deal maker. This is the great deal maker, has basically no legislative accomplishments of the most divided America and Congress of all time, and can't even keep the government funded? How?
One glaring instance of that, Speaker Johnson sent his people home. They're home right now, even though the government will collude at midnight. There's only one conclusion you can draw when the Speaker sends the Senate, the House home, that he wants a shutdown. He doesn't want to negotiate. All they want to do is force us, try to bully us, and they're not going to succeed, into taking their partisan bill, take it or leave it. That is not how this place works. And that's why we're headed into a shutdown, because Republicans refuse to negotiate a bipartisan bill that deals with the health care needs of the American people, which they care about. Yesterday, Leader Jeffries and I, went to the White House to meet with the president and Republican leaders about finding a way out of this impasse. It was a frank and candid discussion. It was long overdue. As I said, we'd asked for it for months. We asked the president to meet with us when Thune and Johnson wouldn't. He said yes. And according to all reports, Johnson and then Leader Thune, who just followed what Johnson wanted, said don't do it, and the president withdrew. So on Friday, I called this Leader Thune and said, let's have a meeting, and we did, but it's at the last minute. There's still a chance. It's only the president who can do this. We know he runs the show here. And he's got to say to our Republican colleagues, deal with this ACA issue so that people don't get $400 premium increases. Deal with this impoundment and rescission issue, which when we told him about it yesterday, seemed not familiar with it, but now he knows. And we can solve this problem. But Johnson won't, Thune won't, and so the president is not going to be able to persuade them unless he tries at the last minute. That's the only hope here. Look, sitting in the room with the president, it was very clear that the president hadn't fully grasped the magnitude of the disaster he's causing when the government shuts down. As health care costs go up, as people lose their health care, rural hospitals are already closing. Speaker Johnson in the room said to me they're not, and I pointed out to him that Tim Kaine just informed us that three rural clinics in Virginia, Southwest Virginia, were closing.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I just looked this up. Am I crazy or am I misunderstanding? The Speaker of the House is the presiding officer of the U.S. House of Representatives. By custom and House rules, the Speaker is the political and parliamentary leader of the House, and it's simultaneously its presiding officer, de facto leader of the body's majority party. So the House Majority Leader is the same thing as the Speaker of the House? Or am I misunderstanding? Or, like, right now, is there a different House Majority Leader? Who is the current House Majority Leader? U.S. Congress. Oh, no, it's Steve Scalise. What the fuck does the House Majority Leader? And is the de facto leader of the body's majority party, as opposed to the de jure? What is the actual, like, the actual leader? They whip votes? One is for the House and the other is for the Senate? What? Well, no one's talking about the Senate right now. They just whip votes? What was, wasn't Nancy Pelosi usually the Speaker of the House? Or am I crazy? And didn't she also whip votes? Or is there like a formal vote whipper? You can do both. Which is party leadership structure? Oh, okay.
And the head of those clinics said it's because of the bills the Republicans passed. The so-called BBB, which we know is not beautiful. The American people know it's not beautiful. And so they know, our Republican colleagues know that the American people are fully behind us when it comes to lowering costs, but also when it comes to health care and making sure that those premiums don't go way up. And then I spoke to Speaker Johnson directly in the room. I told him, because he can't debate health care, because he knows it's not the American people are on the side of wanting these increases, even Republicans, I told him to stop making up stories that too many Republicans are lying through their teeth. They say, oh, the Democrats want undocumented immigrants to get health care, to get the federal dollars of health care. That is utter bull, and they know it. The law prohibits undocumented immigrants from getting payments from Medicare, Medicaid, or the ACA. There's no money, not a penny, of federal dollars that are going there. So why do they bring this up? Because they're afraid to talk about the real issue, which is health care for American citizens, health care for people who need the health care and can't afford these premiums. Let me say it again. Undocumented immigrants cannot receive premium tax credits by law. So they should stop these lies and address the real issue, which of course they're afraid to do, a standard Republican MO. A standard Republican MO is to make something else up because the American people are on our side. Now, this week, here's what House Republicans sent out guidance to their members. They said, quote, not to make the message about health care because Republicans lose that argument. They're right. Their position is callous, malicious, unpopular. So they're not only refusing to talk about health care, but apparently when they do, it's only to spread
lies,
misinformation, to spread.
Look at how stupid, our current politics are. The White House tweeted, was this an hour and a half ago? The Democrat Party wants open borders, transgender for everybody. What the fuck does that even mean? Men competing in women's sports. Two trans things, 2 out of 5 are going to be about trans people? Okay. Crime and lawlessness in our streets. Yes, Democrats advocate for that a lot. And cashless bail policies over the safety and security of our nation. What does it even have to do with a federal bailout, continuing resolution budget or anything? What the fuck are we even talking about?
Base. It lies. I said this to Speaker Johnson in the Oval Office yesterday. I told him it was total bull, I think that's the word I used, to say that we want undocumented immigrants to get federal benefits, that it can't happen by law, and nothing we've proposed in our bill changes that. He sort of smirked, that's it, because he knows the truth. He knows the truth. And they're lying to the American people, these Republicans who use this, because they know how unpopular their position is. A Kaiser Family Foundation poll, 75% of Americans support extending the ACA premium tax credit, including 63% of Republicans. Republicans have chosen the losing side of the health care debate because they're trying to take away people's health care. They're going to let people's premiums rise. And this idea that we can do this at January, no. The notices go out October 1st as to how much increase people will get in 29 states, and they only have a short time, long before January, to decide, are they going to drop their health care because they can't afford it? Are they going to take a lesser plan where they pay more with deductibles and co-payments? Or are they going to keep that plan and cut back on buying a car, going on a vacation, or worse? Republicans have chosen, simply put, folks, the Republicans have chosen the losing side of the health care debate. Losing side. And in the White House meeting yesterday, Speaker Johnson made it perfectly clear he didn't care if people's premiums should go up because his conference is against it. And so, again, the House isn't even set to come back until October 7th. You tell me which side is actively manufacturing.
Why is there no active, huge pushback from mainstream media and people in general about illegal alien health care? Republicans hijacked the internet. Well, Republicans will talk about it on the right. Or I'm sorry, they won't ever address it on the right. I don't know what the left fucking media does. They just fucking cuck out to the conservatives all day. I don't know what they're talking about on CNN or anything right now.
Bring a shutdown. Why did the House do that? Because they wanted to negotiate? I don't think so. They wanted to jam it through, but they're not going to be able to. Yesterday, during a House Republican conference, Representative Lisa McClain
made it explicit. She said, don't talk about health care to her Republican colleagues. They don't want to talk about it, so they make these other things up, facts out of thin air. So the Republicans have until midnight tonight to get serious with us about solving this crisis and keep the government open. But right now, they're not even talking to us seriously. They're sort of in la-la land. And on another issue, related. Yesterday, the president posted an offensive deepfake AI video of Leader Jeffries and me with sombreros, fake music, impersonating my voice through AI. It wasn't me. Talking even more lies about health care and immigration. Listen to this, America. Hours away from a shutdown, which we don't want, the American people don't want, the president is busy trolling away on the internet like a 10-year-old.
True.
And that's exactly why Americans are going to blame him if the government shuts down. That's another proof point as to who is to blame. His video, Johnson going away.
What? Play what? Oh, the AI video? This thing?
Sending. Look, guys, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bullshit. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore. Even Latinos hate us. So we need new voters. And if we give all these illegal aliens free health care, we might be able to get them on our side so they can vote for us. They can't even speak English, so they won't realize we're just a bunch of woke pieces of shit, you know, at least for a while until they learn English and they realize they hate us too.
Remember, all of the subhuman moral, you know, loser virtue signalers, okay, like your Ben Shapiro's and all these people that are supposedly ethical and moral and religiously compelled to act in certain ways will all laugh and giggle at shit like this, and they will never fucking call it out because they are spineless cuck fucks. They are the most cucked, spineless fucking losers in the history of all of cuckoldry kind. The most morally depraved, opportunistic, cancerous fucks in all of American society.
And adjourning the House till next week. We have less than a day to figure this out, and Donald Trump is busy tweeting deepfakes. It's not like he's in touch with reality. He's in a bubble.
True.
He doesn't understand that if the government shuts down, people's health care premiums will go up. When we told him about it, Hakeem and I, yesterday, by his body language, he seemed not even to be aware of it, of the ramifications. If the president was smart, he'd move heaven and earth to fix this health care crisis right away. Because Americans are going to hold him responsible when they start paying $400, $500, $4,600 more a month on health care. So we have less than a day. If there was ever a moment for Donald Trump and Republicans to get serious about health care, it's now. But even right now, even this morning, even here on the precipice of this crisis, the president would rather troll on the internet and lie about health care than tell the truth and get to work. So that's why the polls are abundantly clear that Americans will hold Donald Trump and Republicans responsible if the government shuts down. Senate Republicans could stop this crisis now. The president should get on the phone with Leader Thune and the Johnsons and tell them to work with Democrats to fix the crisis before it's too late, and work with Democrats to fix our health care crisis. Let me just say once again, we tried over and over and over again to meet with the Republican leadership. They said no. The appropriators said they couldn't resolve the issues until the leaders met. So we asked the leaders to meet again, and they said no, because they didn't want to negotiate. They wanted it their way or no way. Their way or no way. That's not how the Senate works. If Republicans cause a shutdown, they'll probably keep lying and distracting because they know we're on the side of the American Democrats or on the side of the American people. But we will continue to focus on health care, and the American people will be completely on our side. Beautiful.
Yield.
Joining us now, House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican.
Finally. Jesus. Mike Johnson is so evil, but finally he's on the left-wing media network, CNN. So he's probably going to get held to account finally here. We're going to see some brutal questioning and him being unable to just lie with impunity to the American people.
Louisiana. Mr. Speaker, good to see you. Let's start with the shutdown talks. A few days ago, President Trump rejected even meeting with Democratic leaders, reportedly at the urging of you and the Senate Majority Leader John Thune. What changed?
Well, I had a long talk with the president yesterday, Jake, and, you know, he feels the same way that I do about this. He's always open to discussion, but he wants to operate in good faith. So he decided to bring us all in. He wants to talk with Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and just try to convince them to follow common sense and do what's right by the American people. Jake, it's important to point out the only thing we are trying to do is buy a little time. You know, the appropriators in both parties have been working very diligently over the last many weeks to work through the appropriations process. As you know,
many weeks. Why not since the last appropriations bill? This is your job. The one thing, actually, he said a lot of things that I agreed with off camera, Santos told me after our show. He said that he feels like if Congress can't pass a budget, then next election cycle, every single one of them is forced to resign. Like it has to be new people for the next election cycle. None of them are allowed to run for election again. I kind of like that idea. Like, this is your job. Like, one of the most important functions of government is to fund it. If you can't pass like a spending bill, then everybody should leave. Like, everybody just needs to be gone and then bring in a new crowd. I think that's based.
Now, the law requires us to pass 12 separate appropriations bills and to be good stewards of American taxpayers' dollars, but that hasn't happened. It usually doesn't happen in Washington. Everything gets pushed to the end of the year right before Christmas, and there's a giant omnibus spending bill. Since I became Speaker, I've been trying to force back the muscle memory, to force Congress to do its work, and we're doing it. Jake, I'm delighted to tell you, in a bipartisan fashion, the appropriators have worked through 12 separate appropriations bills in the House committee. Three are passed off the floor in the House, three passed off the Senate floor. Those bills don't match up exactly, so there's a conference committee between two chambers working as they're supposed to for the first time since 2019. But here's the problem. We run out of clock because the end of the September 30th is the end of the fiscal year. So what we did was a simple, clean.
For the first time since 2019. Why haven't they been doing this for months already?
Continuing resolution. It's 24 pages in length. All it does is keep the government open so appropriators can continue to do this work together, bipartisan. Chuck Schumer came back with a long laundry list of partisan demands that don't fit into this process, and he's going to try to shut the government down. The president wants to talk with him about that and say, please, don't do that.
So at this meeting tomorrow, is President Trump looking to make a deal, or is it going to be like when Michael Corleone met Senator Geary? My offer is this, nothing.
We just let him say all of that unobstructed, no pushback. Okay, cool. So it's the Democrats' fault. The Republicans want to be deal makers. They're just trying to buy a little bit of time. Cool. Okay. I guess that's all true.
we'll have to see. But I can tell you where his head and his heart are. He wants to do right by the people. He does not want the Democrats to hold up troops pay, you know, the people who are serving in the military. They don't get paid during a shutdown. He doesn't want WIC funding, you know, women, infants, and children nutrition program being held up. He doesn't want telehealth and mental health and FEMA services to be stopped. That's what Chuck Schumer is holding hostage. Why? So that he can add $1.5 trillion in new spending at a time when we're simply just trying to keep the government going for 7 weeks so we can have those debates. It's wrong. He also wants to, by the way, what Chuck Schumer is demanding in exchange for all those good things I just listed, he wants to reinstate free health care for illegal aliens paid by American taxpayers. We're not doing that. We can't do that. That's just one of the crazy things.
Well, I think he would take issue with that. Here is what House...
He would take issue with that. Okay. Thank you. Because it's like both sides are making equivalent arguments here, right?
Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries said on CNN Friday night about what he says Democrats are asking for, which is the continuing of the Obamacare subsidies being extended to American citizens only to prevent more than 1 million of those Americans joining the ranks of the uninsured. I'd like to hear your response. This is what Jeffries said.
And all we're saying is let's find a path forward to actually fix the healthcare system that Republicans have broken for the good of everyone. They dropped this reckless partisan bill that continues to gut the healthcare of the American people, and it went down in flames. And so their bill is dead on arrival.
Is that demand for continuing the Obamacare subsidies, is that even on the table tomorrow?
No.
Look, that statement by my friend Hakeem is absolutely absurd. There is nothing partisan about this continuing resolution. Nothing. We didn't add a single partisan priority or policy rider at all. We're operating completely in good faith to give more time. The only thing that would gut health care, using his own phraseology,
is the shutdown.
Is if we took Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer's demand here, because they want to cut $50 billion from rural hospitals. That's a new fund that we added in the big, beautiful bill, the Working Families Tax Cuts that we passed just a couple months ago. They want to gut that. They also want to hold up all this funding that I listed. I mean, the WIC program is something that we all champion for women, infants, and children nutrition. That would be held up. So it's exactly the opposite of what Hakeem is talking about. The Obamacare subsidies is a policy debate that has to be determined by the end of the year, December 31, December 30th, not right now, while we're simply trying to keep the government open so we can have all these debates.
So just as a point of fact, it's against the law for...
If it's a policy debate, then why did it get defunded the last big government spending thing you guys passed? If it's supposed to be a policy debate.
Non-citizens to get those subsidies. And if they expire, Americans' premiums could jump as much as 75%, some experts say, and consumers could start viewing those higher premiums as soon as October. Are you not worried at all that those people might blame Republicans for those health care costs, for the insurance costs going up?
No, they're not being truthful about that, Jake. The program doesn't expire until the end of December, so we have time to have all those discussions and debates. But yes, it is illegal for...
Like what? I don't think the problem... Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think the problem is that the program is going to expire in October. I think the thing is that that's when the renewals come up. And if it is going to expire, then you're going to see that reflected when you go to renew next week or whenever the renewals come up. Not that it's like expiring right now, but that the renewal is going to reflect an increased price. So, I mean, like, Johnson is just avoiding, like, answering with substance.
For illegal aliens to receive health care paid for by hardworking American taxpayers. But they're making the demand to change that. They want to add that back in. That's one of Chuck Schumer's primary demands, to keep the government open. And we're not going to do that. The American people didn't vote for us to do that. We're trying to clean up the system. So what they're demanding, they know is outrageous. They know it's far beyond the pale. And, look, I challenge anybody listening to us, Jake. Go pull this up. You will see there is nothing partisan in what we have passed and presented to the Senate. But Chuck Schumer is doing this for one reason. He is trying to get cover from the far-left base of his party because they've been hammering him for not fighting Trump. So he's going to try to show that he's fighting Trump, but he has absolutely no logical basis for doing so here.
So just to be clear, there's not going to be any negotiation at this meeting. This is just going to be you and Thune and Trump telling Jeffries and Schumer, we're not giving you anything.
Look, I'm not going to get in front of the president and tell you what he will do, but I talked with him, you know, a couple times, even yesterday. And I'm telling you where his head is. He wants to bring in the leaders to come in and act like leaders and do the right thing for the American people. It's fine to have partisan debates and squabbles, but you don't hold the people hostage for their services to allow yourself political cover. And that's what Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to the other big subject in the news.
Nice. Okay.
Here, having to do with the indictment.
Cool. He just says all that with no pushback. Left-wing media, by the way. Like, he does this, and like, everybody on the right will still call CNN, you know, like, left-wing, biased, partisan media, despite the fact that Evil Johnson can come here and just say, you know, his propaganda talking points verbatim with no pushback, no challenge whatsoever. Nice.
Former FBI Director James Comey. Just looking at the principle at stake here, if you can remove Comey and Trump out of the equation, as a constitutional attorney and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, do you believe it's acceptable for any president to publicly or privately instruct their attorney general to prosecute a political opponent and go as far as firing a U.S. attorney if they don't bring charges because they don't think the case is strong enough?
Never speak about the morality of it. Just speak about what they can do. Okay. Trump is allowed to hire and fire anybody he wants. A grand jury is what determines an indictment. And maybe throw a little bit of Biden did the same thing to Trump or something. Do we have a bingo card for this?
I'm glad you brought up the principle. That is exactly what's at issue here. James Comey lied to Congress. Okay, he took an oath. He said things to Congress that were simply not true. It's called
we have our talking points for Comey. Yeah?
Perjury. A grand jury that is not, you know, a nonpartisan, non-biased grand jury.
Okay, we got the grand jury in here. Okay, cool.
That was assembled, looked at the charges.
Thank you for explaining what a grand jury does. Not relevant at all to this question.
They agreed. They voted to bring an indictment of James Comey. Not President Trump, not the DOJ, but a grand jury. That's how our system works.
The grand juries do not consider random charges for random people at random points in time. A grand jury is presented with an indictment that is brought by a federal prosecutor. So I don't know why he's pretending that they just randomly get a piece of paper in front of them, but that's fine. It's okay. He can just lie.
To bring an indictment of James Comey, not President Trump, not the DOJ, mm-hmm. but a grand jury. That's mm-hmm. how our system works.
Okay.
It's a very important principle for us to apply that everybody has to subscribe to the law.
Can we do the thing that I keep begging for somebody to say, oh, so then you agree with the indictments that were issued for Donald Trump, right? And you agree with the convictions for Donald Trump in New York State then, right?
Even a former FBI director, and he has lots to answer for. There are many things that he could have been indicted for, but the statute of limitations ran out on so many of those matters.
Why did the statute of limitations run out? Wasn't Trump president for 4 years after Comey was fired, after he fired him almost immediately for the Russian investigation stuff?
Here, perjury is important. You can't, especially if you're a high official, appointed or elected official, you cannot raise your hand, take an oath, and lie to Congress. And that's an important principle, a principle, Jake, for us to advance.
Does the rule of law have to apply to people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th?
That was it on that? Okay.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
What are we going to say? Trump pardoned them, so that's technically allowed. The people that were... Are we going to flip positions completely and say most of those people that were charged and convicted weren't even at the Capitol or something? What?
There's new information over the last couple of days about that as well, apparently.
Oh, we're just going to jump right to the 261 plainclothes officers that were brought in afterwards. Pretend they were brought in before. Pretend they instigated the entire thing and then ignore the entire legal system and everything that happened before. Okay, cool.
There were 274 FBI agents in the crowd on January 6th.
No. I think the total number of persons. Cash Patel just brought some enhanced understanding to that. They were sent there.
Oh, my God. 8 minutes and 45 seconds. Tapper gives the lightest bit of pushback after he clarifies here. Do you think Mike Johnson's going to go like, oh, well, okay, whatever, and then move on to the next thing? Or do you think he's going to acknowledge this point?
To do crowd control because of everything that was going on. It wasn't a false flag operation, as President Trump suggested.
Well, Jake, wait a minute. Hold on, Jake. How do you know that, right? There's a lot
going
of
what Cash Patel said.
Okay, never mind. He's just going to keep pushing lies. How do you know that? Isn't that what Cash Patel said?
New questions about... Well, and I'm telling you that there's videos and it's always been disputed what involvement some of those...
No, it hasn't been. Not by any serious person.
...persons, engaged in. What involvement they had. Did they spur on the crowd? Did they open the gates to allow them in? I don't know. These are questions, but they should be answered. And yeah.
They have been answered. There were people that were convicted of seditious treason or seditious conspiracy. But now the legal system's not enough. Now we have infinite questions for everything. Notice how we totally moved off that point, by the way, of where the conviction's okay for the Jan 6ers. Now we've moved off into some other conspiratorial nonsense. Even on left-wing media, conservatives will control the conversation every fucking time.
There's a lot of investigation and discovery to go forward. We have a select subcommittee, bipartisan, a committee that is reviewing the investigation of the original J6 committee. Mm-hmm. I mean, a committee investigating mm-hmm. the previous committee. Why? Yeah. Because there was so much bias in the system.
Oh.
And that committee was rigged, I think.
There was so much bias in the system. Oh, so we can't trust the system, the past system, but we can trust the current system. But not the system when Cash Patel says that these officers showed up in response to J6, but we can trust the system when they say there were 274 officers there on J6. Okay, gotcha. So yeah, so was Cash Patel lying to Congress then when he disagreed with Mike Johnson's current assessment, or?
And I think my theory is, I've always believed that they got rid of evidence and they hit some of this. So all of it's going to come out.
Based on what evidence?
out. The American people deserve full transparency.
Full transparency,
and that's what 100%. Congress is working on, and that's what the administration is working
on. I'm always in favor of full transparency, including,
so we'll find out.
Including for the Epstein files, which that will probably come on the floor of the House soon, and we'll have lots of discussions about that. Speaker Johnson, always good to have you here. Thank you so much, sir.
Wow, epic Owen at
Thanks,
the end
Jack,
there. You epically got him, dude, on that Epstein files one. So fucking epic.
Remember, was by a grand jury, not a Republican, you know, partisan group. A grand jury was seated. They reviewed the evidence, as prosecutors do in our system, and they determined that there was reason to bring those charges. So we'll see.
Speaker, just to put a fine point on it, though, my understanding is that the previous prosecutor refused to bring the case because they didn't think it was a strong enough case, if you will, to even bring to a grand jury. And
yes,
so you have a situation where the president effectively directed their own lawyer to bring that case.
So?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think there is a distinction between the prosecutor's discretion, and they all have that. Different prosecutors look at different cases different ways, but that's why we have a grand jury, okay? It's not just the unilateral decision of one person. They put it to a jury of the defendant's peers.
Yeah, it's a grand jury.
The grand jury decided that these charges were merited, and so we'll have to see how it shakes out.
All right. Mr. Speaker, we got to end it there. They're wrapping us. I mean, go for it. But this is like, if you can ask about seeing prayers on the floor of the House or something. I mean, this is sort of off topic, is it? I mean, I know it's the Trump, but.
Well, no, I think there's viewers who are watching us who are asking about.
That was a viewer.
They asked about
It wasn't you.
They asked about George Soros and Reid Hoffman and some of these other people
Mr.
that
Speaker,
we talk about on the air.
Okay, go for it. You got one more. What else? Oh, they're telling me to thank him. You sure? Mr. Speaker.
American people, don't get me started on that.
What, is he mad because the guy asked him a semi-challenging question? It's such bullshit. You're not supposed to take indictments to grand juries that you think the grand jury will approve of. You're supposed to take indictments to the grand jury that you think you can secure a conviction on. That's the whole point of a case like this. You don't just indict whoever the fuck you can and then see what the grand jury's standard of indictment is. Probable cause. It's probable cause. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. You're 75 points away from that. What the fuck? This is such a clown
jury
show.
Decided I don't care. Sorry.
I almost gave a fuck. I almost gave a fuck for a second. Don't care. Never mind.
Oh, wait, is it they that are out of touch with America or, well, I think they are. I think they bought into the radicalization of their party. But they also know that they're leaders in name only, that they really are not the power brokers that maybe they once would have been. They're not Harry Reid. They're not Nancy Pelosi. They don't have a tight grip on their caucus. If anything, Chucky's hanging by a string. Hakeem, he's got a little more consolidation of power, I would argue. But the reality is Chuck Schumer's probably not going to make it. I mean, he's looking at his final days as being the leader in the Senate, in my view. Your thoughts?
Well, look, Shakespeare once wrote that a brave man dies, but once a coward has 1,000 deaths. You can't be, don't become a leader if you're afraid to be a leader. This is a major mistake by the Democrats. They have already become a big government socialist party with weird values.
Gallup has reported
they have the lowest favorable rating at 34% in the history of the Gallup poll. Seth Kessel reports that as recently as today in New Mexico, for example, there have been 1,300 more Republicans signing up, leaving the Democrats in the last couple of weeks, three times the normal rate. So what you're seeing around the country is people are going, if that's who the Democrats are, I'm not one of them. And I think we're seeing something truly historic. And remember this, Sean, the people who are now in the Trump administration had 4 years in the wilderness. And that means, for example, the Russ Vought, the head of the Office of Management Budget, spent 4 years thinking about what should we do if there's a shutdown. So they're totally prepared for this kind of a fight. And the Democrats have no idea what's going to start hitting them on Monday.
I think you're right on that. By the way, when Chuck Schumer is on the floor of the Senate making the case that the New York Times poll is biased in favor of conservatives, okay, that might be the greatest line ever uttered on the Senate floor in the history of the Senate.
I want you to notice this more, and I want you to call this out more every single time you see it, okay? Brian tried to do this to no avail. You cannot. Oh, wait, there was one more. Fuck. It was a 6-minute video. Was it on Twitter? Was it on my subreddit? No, I can't do the volume thing again. I want you to notice this. These guys will not ever answer questions ever. They will not. They cannot. They will never answer a fucking question. They have been allowed to carry on like this with impunity.
I see both sides not even agreeing on some of the facts here. You know, Trump says Democrats want to give health care to illegal immigrants. You have Democrats who say this is about Medicare.
I don't know where the fuck this claim came from. Does anybody know where the fuck this claim came from? Like, illegal immigrants cannot apply for healthcare in the United States. You need a social security number for this, for Medicare and shit. And other things, you cannot apply for healthcare as an illegal immigrant. None of the ACA funding, none of this. I don't know where this talking point came from. I mean, like, I guess a signal chat or something.
I see both sides not even agreeing on some of the facts here. You know, the Trump says Democrats want to give health care to illegal immigrants. You have Democrats who say this is about Medicare and Obamacare. If it's not even agreement there, that's where the hesitation I have is. That's where I'm concerned that we're going to even see anything.
Nick, would you agree that not a single dime of ACA subsidies goes toward undocumented immigrants?
Nick, would you agree that no funding goes towards illegal immigrants? That's the question.
Would you agree with me that what the big,
I mean,
one big,
the,
beautiful
please,
bill
the question.
Bill
it's not
did,
that hard to just answer the question.
Wait a second. Again, listen, we don't do this on this show. I don't know if you've ever...
Only big criticism here for Brian is he should have called him a retarded dipshit, okay? So big fumble from Brian here, but otherwise, good to stay on point.
We've been on here before, but that's, we don't talk over. We're not here to yell at each other. I'm not going
to
do that.
No, you're not here to do anything because it's a fucking performance.
Yes, anymore, Jesse.
Okay.
So,
all thanks. Right. All
there
right.
There you go.
I
that's the answer right there.
No,
can't
listen,
even acknowledge can't even acknowledge
no,
objective
Brian,
reality.
Brian, Mick responded, Brian responded.
No, he didn't. Not really. What? He just mumbled some random words.
Okay, we're going to leave it here. Appreciate you both.
That there's too much spending. I mean, it is, Mick, it's your party. It's Donald Trump that is adding trillions and trillions and trillions to the debt because they want to give themselves tax cut. Donald Trump added...
Tax cuts
Donald
for the rich, yeah. We've had this conversation. All right.
He wasn't talking about tax cuts for the rich, you blimp fuck. You airheaded dipshit. He's talking about the fact you guys keep adding more and more and more to the deficit. Remember, this is how they brought all the retarded tech bros, okay, from Shitacon Valley along for the fucking ride, the abolish the Fed retards, that, like, all of these guys came along and they're like, oh, I think that the deficit spending is the worst thing in the Fed and, oh, the printing the currency. Apparently none of that mattered.
We've had this conversation because it's the reality of the situation. I mean, the Republicans just passed a budget bill that would add $4 trillion to the debt.
$4 trillion, so I get it. Okay.
That's, I mean, you can scoff it off, but right. It doesn't change the math.
Mick,
it doesn't move us where we are. Who's going to give up in this? The Democrats are going to give up because they're asking for something.
Well, I mean,
the
don't change the subject.
Brian,
I mean,
Brian,
you,
hold
brought,
on one
you brought
Brian,
up the fact,
Brian,
you brought up the
second.
Fact that the government was too big. And so I said the government is too big because Republicans are spending too much and you switched topics. So is it not the Republican Party that's added a quarter of all debt in Trump's first term and that added $4 trillion because of this budget?
Mick, I'll give you the response.
Okay. No, I'm not going to talk about COVID and the bipartisan bills that passed. Look, if we want to talk about the government shutdown, we can, but I'm not going to debate a podcaster. So,
okay.
A podcaster. What a fucking, what a loser, dude. What an actual degenerate human being. A degenerated, fallen human.
You're not going to debate when I give you the numbers. And I mean, it looks worse on you than it does on me because I give you the numbers right there and you just don't want to answer the question.
What is this?
Like, what's...
Here it is. Democrats are liars. Subtitle E, other health provisions, repeal of health subtitle changes. Subtitle B of Title 7 of the Act titled an act of right for reconciliation with Title 2 is repealed in any law or regulation referred to as such. Subchapter A, reducing fraud and improving enrollment processes. Alien Medicaid eligibility. Do they... Am I incorrect? Or alien encompasses green card holders? No? Like, Melina, when we were married and she had her green card, would still be considered an alien. Or why do we have the term illegal alien if... I think alien just means you're not a citizen. First response, what? Between alien and illegal... Oh. Next page of the tweet. The alien Medicaid eligibility. Alien Medicaid eligibility, a Medicaid section 1903 of the Social Security Act, one of paragraphs one, by striking and for and inserting four and five and by adding to the end of the following new paragraph, notwithstanding the preceding paragraphs of the subsection beginning October 1st, except as provided by the paragraphs in an event, shall payment be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an individual unless such individual is a resident of one of the 50 states, D.C. or territory of the U.S., and either a citizen or national of the United States, or two, an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence, an alien living under the status of Cuban, Haitian, entrant, as defined by Section 513, an individual who lawfully resides. This is, am I misreading this? Is this not literally saying that, like, these are the only classes, or these are classes of people, none of these are illegal immigrants? Wait, what the fuck? Why has it gotten Tulsi Gabbard shit was like this too? Where they just release shit and they just expect people not to read it? Bro, can Republicans just not fucking read the shit that they put out? Everything is so crazy. Everything is crazy. And my minor op call out, my oppos are crazy too. I don't know if lawyer is like a fake profession and just like maybe everybody can go, not to be mean to anybody for what law school they went to, but maybe it's just easy to go to any law school and then it's easy to take the bar a million times and eventually pass. Some people are freaking the fuck out. This is where Justicle's Discord server debates my case. The E-Rape Defense Squad. Destiny is bringing on another outside attorney. And he'd be too expensive after being demonetized. He's an associate with Brettler's firm. So, another outside attorney. What do you mean by outside attorney if he's with the same firm? So, maybe Esports Batman has only ever worked on his own filing taxes? I don't know what he does. But, so there's a thing filed for the court so that another associate from my law firm is able to appear in person. Ordinarily, you're not allowed to appear before a court in another state if you don't have an office there, or maybe if you haven't taken the bar there. But what you can do is you can get local representation, and then you can have the co-counsel from another state, and then they can file a pro hac vice or whatever, which allows them to appear before the court, even though they're from out of state. This is just another guy from the same law firm. I don't know how Esports Batman doesn't know this, or I don't know if like all the other lawyers that hate me. I watched that criminally fat guy, I don't know what his name is, also do the same thing where it's like they just the things that they say is just like so fucking retarded. Like it's not even like I don't understand how when people hate me, they become so deranged that they just start saying the most random retarded shit. I don't know why. Can there never be any measured criticism ever? Or can there never be anything accurate ever? It's just like the most bizarro random shit. I don't know.
Stopgap funding measure.
13 minutes.
What happens in the next 3 hours and also the days ahead could depend in large part on my first source.
I love how also we're just like inventing new adjectives to describe things that aren't real. A dirty continuing resolution versus a clean continuing resolution. Have these terms ever been used in all of U.S. history when talking about CRs for the budget? Can somebody show? I'm genuinely curious. Has anybody ever used this terminology before?
First tonight, the Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
It's not new? Okay, I feel like I've never heard the term clean CR before or dirty CR before. Maybe they have used it in the past, but I just haven't. It means no add-ons? Sure, I guess. I know what it means. It's just funny, the normative loading of the words.
So much for being here. Mr. Speaker, do you believe the government's going to shut down in 3 hours from now?
I think it is inevitable now. It's a very reckless decision that Chuck Schumer has made. The Democrats have taken the last vote. Within the last few hours, they voted it down once again. And so there's no other option. Now, it's important to note what they're doing here. They're throwing a fit. They're making partisan arguments. The House did its job. We sent to the Senate a clean CR. What that means, it's a very short stopgap funding measure so that the appropriators in Congress and both parties can continue their work of doing the appropriations bills.
What have they been working on?
12 separate bills. We've made a lot of progress in that. We just need a little more time because tonight is the end of the fiscal year. Chuck Schumer has refused to give the extra time. Why? Because we won't agree to restore health care to illegal aliens. Because we won't agree to give $500 million back to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He wants to cut the big fund of $50 billion that we set aside to support and prop up rural hospitals in America. Because we won't agree to those partisan demands and $1.5 trillion in new spending on a 7-week stopgap funding measure, he's decided to shut the government down. It's real pain for real Americans. And it's so frustrating.
I heard you make that first point at the White House yesterday after the meeting y'all had with the president and with Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. As you know, people who are here in the United States legally have never been eligible for the Obamacare subsidies, for Medicare, for Medicaid. So what exactly are you saying that they're trying to do when you talk about giving free health care to
them? I'm so glad you asked. Okay, so when we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Working Families Tax Cut, we had Medicaid reforms in the bill. You and I talked about it on the air. What we did was to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. There were a lot of people on the program who were enrolled in the program who were never eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for eligible U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens, not also U.S. citizens intended on the program who were enrolled in the program who were never eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for eligible U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens, not also U.S. citizens who are able-bodied workers like young men. So we passed the law. This president signed it into law. Democrats voted against it, of course. And it's been
well, Democrats throw trans people under the bus. Part of the bill is banning medical facilities that receive any federal funding at all from providing trans health care, like even if I wanted to pay out of pocket. I mean, at this point, probably, I don't know if that's an issue that Dems can fight on. You have to take like the chunk of what you have and then you push around the edges. But if that's like an edge case, unfortunately right now, then the edge things are going to be the things that get left behind. And the trans stuff is some of the stuff that hurts the Dems the most. I don't personally believe it should. I think that most of the trans stuff, I think, is very easily defensible. It's just this outer edges, like, athlete shit. Like it's truly just the athlete stuff. Nothing else should be that hard to defend. But conservatives have controlled the conversation on this so much.
Probably successful. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which is the neutral arbiter of all these things, released a report a few weeks ago, earlier this month, and they said, you know what? The bill has had its intended purpose. Premiums are coming down. Listen, because 2.3 million ineligible enrollees have been kicked off of Medicaid, which helps to save the program, prop it up. And $185 billion has been saved already.
So basically, what you did was narrow the eligibility for certain people to get access.
Have been kicked off of Medicaid. Listen, because 2.3 million ineligible enrollees have been kicked off of Medicaid, which helps to save the program, prop it up. And $185 billion has been saved already.
So basically, what you did was.
I don't understand. Is he saying that like it's a good thing? We kicked 3 million, 2. Whatever million people off of Medicaid, and now we're saving money? I mean,
for able-bodied workers like young men, not illegal aliens, not also U.S. citizens who are able-bodied workers like young men. So we passed the law. This president signed it into law. Democrats voted against it, of course, and it's been wildly successful. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which is the neutral arbiter of all these things, released a report a few weeks ago, earlier this month, and they said, you know what? The bill has had its intended purpose. Premiums are coming down. Listen, because 2.3 million ineligible enrollees have been kicked off of Medicaid, which helps to save the program, prop it up, and $185 billion has been saved already.
So basically,
okay, I don't know much about Medicaid. Do you pay into Medicaid at all or no? Like Medicaid is like administered by the states or something? Bro, our healthcare shit is so complicated. I don't fucking know anything. No, you don't? Okay.
You did was narrow the eligibility.
Because I'm curious, like 2.3 million. Oh, you still have premiums? It's like a small cut. Because if he's saying 2.3 million able-bodied working young men or whatever were kicked off Medicaid, were these people even costing Medicaid that much money or any money? Like how, like what are your average healthcare withdrawals as a 20 to 30 year old ordinary working man? My guess is probably close to zero. Like how much are these people withdrawing? Just what?
For certain people to get access to the ACA subsidies, what they want to do is undo the changes that Republicans made in that. But basically, wouldn't that only affect people who do have legal status, people who are refugee seekers here in the United States, asylum seekers here?
Those are two totally different issues. Now, they've created this as a new argument that they have as to why they should not keep the government open. But they're arguing a December policy debate for a September funding issue. The subsidies that you're talking about don't expire until the end of December.
Those are the subsidies for just everyday Americans. That's one thing that obviously has been the main premise of the argument. But you're saying they want to give free health care to people who are in the United States illegally.
That is exactly what the effect will be.
But when I looked at it, there's a little nuance, because if they want to undo changes that y'all made, narrowing who is eligible to get that, those are people who are refugee seekers, asylum seekers. They're not technically people who are here illegally, just cross the border.
No, this is exactly what will happen. And Maxine Waters admitted, I think, accidentally today on the House steps, they want to give health care to everybody.
But Maxine Waters is not in charge. She's not the one. She didn't write this proposal.
She's one of the senior leaders in the House. And everybody should Google it.
Why would you do a quote? Dude, this is my number one heuristic for studying history, for arguing politics, for knowing anything. People who live and breathe in quotes are almost always fucking lying to you. It is almost always the case that somebody is a fucking liar when they just quote things or people at you, right? Show me some fucking action. Show me some work. What the fuck is Maxine Waters? How is she involved in this? Is she the one writing the dirty CR that Schumer and Jeffries are trying to get everybody to sign onto? Wait, like, why the fuck are we quoting, you know, single representatives or single senators for anything? Like, what the fuck? Every single time it came up in terms of, like, history arguments and U.S. arguments and everything else, whenever somebody has, just like, oh, well, whatever this quote where this guy said, it's like, oh, well, fuck me, I guess. You got the quote.
Read their counterproposal.
But you see
yourself.
My point, right? You're making this argument that they want to just give health care to everyone who's here illegally. This is not for people who cross the border and don't have paperwork. These are people who have temporary protected status,
no,
right?
Absolutely, what will happen if that counterproposal was enacted is illegal aliens would be paid for. American taxpayers, hard-earned dollars, would be paying for benefits for illegal aliens again. We're not doing that.
But it's against federal law for people who are here illegally
to
get
healthcare. And that's why our reforms are so important to enforce all that. What the important thing to remember is what's happening.
Reforms to enforce. What are you talking about? These are just nonsense. Grammatically correct sentences that say nothing.
Democratic proposal that people who are here legally
should get. No, because they don't have the level of specification that we had in our bill. It will unwind that, and all those things that the CBO just verified will be reversed. We can't afford to do that.
But you see my point, that there's no argument that you're making, right?
No, that is a red herring in this debate. What they've decided to do tonight with their vote is to close the government. And what that means, everybody needs to understand, real pain for real Americans. What does that mean? It means women, infants, and children do not get their nutrition programs. That is not funded anymore. Veterans don't get their health care services, suicide prevention, and other.
Is WIC really a federal level program? I thought that was state level. I don't know. It might be federal.
Very important thing.
Or it might be state level, but paid by the federal government.
Things that are very timely. You have low income persons who are Medicaid, Medicare recipients, who are receiving care at home. Those programs are now lapsed. They will not be funded.
Yeah, you're making a point about what happened to the government.
That's right. And they just decided to do it. So the only question tonight is, how long will Chuck Schumer keep the government closed? It's a dangerous gambit. It's something that he himself said his entire political career would be dangerous and disastrous. Roll the tape. We're rolling the greatest hits on our social media.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the point about giving people.
You see, they're doing the same thing with my rhetoric thing, right? Like, oh, he's being dangerous. Oh, well, if you think keeping the government is open, why would you lower yourself to the Republican level? Why would you come down to their level? Do the moral thing, right? If you think keeping it open is important, if you think turning down the temperature is important, then you should be doing it, right? Don't base your actions on the guy, right? But it doesn't work that way in a system where both people are meant to be working together. It doesn't, one person can't do it. I think I was at the event. Did I see somebody type this in chat? I think when I was at the TPUSA or the Unfuck America event, somebody was like, it's like one person rowing a boat. I need to work that analogy in more. Like, if you have two people and one person is rowing and he rows harder and harder and harder, all you're going to be doing is going around in a circle even faster. Like, one person can't row the boat forward.
Who are here illegally, healthcare is not exactly what is in their proposal.
It is 100% what their
immigrants
proposal.
Immigrants who have legal status, and you're just disagreeing on who's eligible. I looked at it, actually, because I was curious about your argument.
You should study the CBO's analysis that they just put out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that,
but
the one...
Wait, hold on. This is kind of funny if this is true. What is this? White House releases a picture of Netanyahu reading the apology letter to the Qatar PM. For what? For bombing them a couple weeks ago or whatever? That was kind of funny. Also kind of retarded, but... How mad was Netanyahu for this? This is why the press conference was delayed for an hour? Is this a real pick or is this AI? That's kind of funny. That is funny. Netanyahu only cucked out on this apology because Qatar is a U.S. protected state now. Well, it's also there. I mean, I don't know what the fuck Netanyahu is doing. This guy's fucking retarded. How many have we invaded any more Gazan cities yet? Are we trying to, have we gotten rid of Hamas yet? Or is there one more, just one more city? Did you know that 98% of Israeli invasions give up right before they hit getting rid of Gaza completely? I don't know how to draw this meme or whatever. 98% of IDF invasions into the Gaza Strip give up right before they get Hamas. They're so close.
1.2 million people. You're basically arguing about who has legal status, people who are seeking refuge here or seeking asylum.
No, I'm making sure that we are making sure in our provisions that we sign into law have ensured that healthcare benefits go only to eligible U.S. citizens.
Chuck Schumer's proposal.
Federal law was not being enforced. That's the whole point. We had to fine-tune that so that we could strengthen the healthcare program.
Fine-tune it? If the law wasn't being enforced, you're Congress, motherfucker. You can't enforce the law. How are you fine-tuning anything to enforce anything? If it wasn't being enforced before, why is it magically going to be enforced now?
U.S. citizens. Chuck Schumer.
How can he advance just blatantly a lie like this? They say it so convincingly that it almost makes you do a double take, no? Because they've never been held to account on any of these programs. They're allowed to. Am I mixing her up, or is she the same one that's the reporter that asks, like, the real questions, too? Is this Kathy Collins? Katie Collins? I feel like she's, like, the only person in mainstream media that I like. I don't know if I think she might be the only one. I'm trying to think if there's at least one other. She asks good questions when she's in the, White House press briefing thing or whatever, or when she's in the Oval Office. I feel like she's, like, the only one. Rampell, I think she fucking quit because she cucked out and had a kid. Unbelievable. But this person is like single-handedly keeping the entire fucking respect for the left-leaning establishment on her back.
Federal law was not being enforced. That's the whole point. We had to fine-tune that so that we could strengthen the healthcare program. That's what we did.
On this premise of how long the shutdown could go on, the longest one was 35 days. You were a member then. You were not the House Speaker then. How long do you believe this could go on?
I hope it's very short because real Americans are going to suffer. It's going to be a hardship for a lot of people. And Chuck Schumer holds all the cards because all he has to do is do what he's done, by the way, 13 times during the previous 4 years of the Biden administration. 13 times we avoided a shutdown.
All the talking points.
We were in the minority party many of those times. We voted and did the responsible right thing to keep the government open. We're asking Chuck Schumer to do the same thing he did his entire career. He's been here half my life. This is the first time ever he's wanted to shut it down, and I'll tell you why. Because Chuck Schumer is in a political fight. He's fighting for his political life. The last time he did the responsible thing, the far left came after him. AOC is going to challenge him.
Yeah, he was criticized by a lot of his own members. You're talking about how painful a government shutdown today could be. Today the president said...
No! The difference is that Republicans literally aren't even in... I don't even think they're in session. Was this on my subreddit that was posted? They're like fucking gone. They're not even there. They're gonzo.
That he thinks some good things could come from a government shutdown. What are the good things that would come from a shutdown?
Well, the administration has to make some very tough choices. They have to determine at the Office of Management and Budget what are essential services, what are the programs that should be prioritized, you know, personnel decisions, policy decisions. Chuck Schumer has just given the White House unilateral authority to make those permanent decisions about programs that should survive and those that should be eliminated. So he sort of walked into a partisan political trap on that as well.
The president framed it as a, a good thing that could come out of this. You're saying it's a tough choice. That's not how he describes
it. No, it's both. There are good things that could come out of it. If you eliminate wasteful programs that we otherwise would not get Democrat votes to do, that's...
Remember, wasteful is a truism. It doesn't mean anything. Waste, fraud, and abuse are all truisms. They don't mean anything to these fucking losers. It doesn't mean anything.
It's a very good thing for the taxpayers. But the harm that comes is from the people who need food assistance, medical assistance. FEMA won't be funded, by the way. We're in the middle of a hurricane season. If your health insurance or your flood insurance has lapsed, no new policies, no renewals, none of that can happen during a shutdown. It's real danger for real people. This is not a game.
Yeah, well, the president has previously talked about eliminating FEMA potentially before this shutdown happened. But can I ask
he
you in terms of...
He wants to reform FEMA.
You're talking about the...
Reform it into nothing.
President could pick programs that they would basically stop, right, if this shutdown commences. Yeah. Has a president ever, during a government shutdown, eliminated programs just because there was a government shutdown?
I'd have to go study the history of it, but I'll tell you, the government's never been so big and bloated as it is today. It's completely, it's too large, it does too many things, and it does almost nothing well.
More truisms. It's too large, does too many things, and it does almost nothing well. We just accept that, I guess, as opposed to what? Like, which things would you eliminate? Which things, how is it too large? Where does it need to be smaller at? And what does it not do well? Like, what things does it do poorly that you think other things can do better?
There's a lot of reform-minded people in the administration who would like to streamline government. So would conservatives.
Oh, streamline. Oh. Like, how do you guys not see? I don't understand anything. It's so crazy to me that all the people who wanted, like, a businessman and everything get hoodwinked by, this is like corpo speak. Right? Like, this is, all of this is corpo speak. Like, we're going to go ahead and we're going to make this pipeline way more efficient. We've got plans to streamline basically the entire system. We are, you know, we're going to be targeting, different KPIs. We're going to be working through a lot of these blockers. And then, you know, we're going to come back next week and we're going to have an action plan put together so that all of us can, tackle all these big changes and cut down on a lot of the unnecessary, budget allocation for a lot of projects. And then we're going to be good to go. Like, it's just like all nothing. It's all bullshit. Nothing speak. Like, it's nothing. It's retarded corpo speak.
There's a lot of reform-minded people in the administration who would like to streamline government. So would conservatives. So would all of us. Not in a way that disenfranchises.
Destiny, can you explain what you mean by truism in this context? When somebody says waste, fraud, and abuse are bad, they're bad words, so they're always bad, but they don't mean anything. When somebody says, I want to get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse, then I mean like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, nobody should want waste, fraud, and abuse, but the more intelligent question, if you're an adult, is you say, okay, well, how much waste, fraud, or abuse is acceptable, and what levels are we at right now, right? Because no system is going to have zero waste, zero fraud, zero abuse. Well, you could get it to that level, but chances are it's going to be cost prohibitive to do so, right? Everything is going to be open to some level of fraud, some level of abuse, some level of waste, but, like, you only have so much time. Like, if you're a programmer, the equivalent term to we want to get rid of all waste, fraud, and abuse would be like every 6 months you have a CEO come in and say, we need to refactor, the entire stack and, you know, update everything. So it's brand new. We're going to refactor everything. We're going to refactor everything because there's some inefficient code here. So we're going to refactor the whole thing every 6 months. Like, that's the equivalent. It's just like a nonsense. Like, I mean, like, would it run more efficiently? I guess. But, like, do you have infinite employees to throw out a thing over and over and over? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just stupid.
It hurts anybody, but in a way that makes government work more efficiently and effectively for the people. That's what our legislation has done. That's what the Big Beautiful Bill was about, and we'd love to continue that theme. And if Chuck Schumer wants to keep the government shut down, give the White House full authority to do that, some good things may come out of that, indeed.
As a constitutional lawyer, do you think you would be okay if a government shutdown happened under President Biden and he canceled programs unilaterally because of it?
We didn't allow that to happen because I'm more responsible than that. When there were
no, it was because Democrats were working with you guys, because Biden was the great unifier.
Republicans were in the minority. We delivered the votes to keep the government open because we don't want to hurt the American people. Chuck Schumer has made the decision unilaterally.
Destiny, genuine question. In terms of economic policy, how are Americans accepting the current tariff policy? As a Canuck, we were taught, at least in my province, that tariffs being lifted throughout the end of colony-based mercantilism and at the end of the American protectionism is objectively good. Do Americans think similarly and disagree with Trump, or do they agree with them? The issue is that Americans live really good lives, and they have lived really good lives for the past decade or more, but they only feel bad when people tell them to feel bad. So if the badness that you're feeling is a product more of the media that you consume and less a product of your actual material reality, then if somebody comes in and does something to hurt your material reality, but he makes you feel better about it, you're more likely to accept it because at the end of the day, you might not actually be hurting as much as you thought you were. It's a mean thing to say, and it undermines the average voter's competency, but I truly think that that's a big thing at play for the average American consumer.
He's the leader of the Democrats in the Senate. To keep the government shut down for his own personal reasons, it is extremely selfish and stunning to me that he is willing to do that. There's no way out of the trap. We didn't put partisan provisions in the CR. We could have. I could have loaded that up with all of our partisan policy preferences, but I didn't, because we're operating in good faith. The reason we need, again, just the short-term extension to November 21st is to allow the appropriators to do their job. They need more time to do it in a bipartisan fashion, by the way. They agreed, Republicans and Democrats agreed, November 21st would be the appropriate date to extend it. That's all we're asking for is time.
And some Democrats have argued, you know, this is our moment to use our leverage, so we should use it. It reminded me of something that now Vice President J.D. Vance said.
what does the data say? How much waste and fraud is there? My understanding is for government stuff, the waste and fraud is genuinely pretty low. I've said this before, and I'll repeat this indefinitely. Every liberal, okay, every sane liberal was probably a little bit worried when Doge came in, right? I was a little worried. I was like, okay, whew, it would suck if they came in and they found a fuck ton of like wasteful fraudulent spending. But I feel like if Doge came in, assuming Elon has any level of competency whatsoever, I feel like that Doge audit showed the government in an incredibly positive light. You're telling me that you had access to basically every single fucking file and you were auditing with big balls and all the other retarded shit as much as you could, and the best thing you could ever do was just reprint old OIG reports, Office of Inspector General reports. That's all you could do? Sounds like the government's running pretty well. I feel like Doge proved that. The only significant savings that they had was shutting down departments, which is not waste, fraud, and abuse. It was shutting things down they didn't like. At the end of the day, they found basically nothing.
When he was a senator here on Capitol Hill.
Why shouldn't we be trying to force this government shutdown fight to get something out of it that's good for the American people?
Are they just using their leverage, like a position that he once held?
Well, unfortunately for Chuck Schumer, he doesn't have willing partners on the other side. There's no game to play here. The White House, the president, the vice president, we were all in the Oval Office together yesterday. Leader Thune, I, the Republican leadership, and the Senate and the House and the White House are completely unified on this. There's no daylight between us. We want to keep the government open to serve the people. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have decided to close it. We'll see how long this standoff continues, but it's real people that get harmed in the process.
Leader Thune said earlier today that he's not going to negotiate until the government is back open. Is that your position as well with Hakeem Jeffries?
Yeah, look, there's plenty of time to debate these policy issues.
Like, did Trump ever have a meeting with Schumer and Jeffries? I think he did one time, right? After he ignored the first one. That's when he had, like, the Trump hat on the table or whatever. It's a fucking joke, dude. The Trump 2028 hat on the table.
Extraneous matters, but you have to have the government open first. It's the first most important responsibility of Congress to keep the government operating for the people, and the Democrats have decided not to do that.
But so is that your position, that unless the government is open, that you're not going to go negotiate with them either?
Yes, there's nothing to negotiate. There literally is nothing I can pull out of the CR to make it better. It is a nonpartisan CR that they've already voted for. Chuck Schumer already voted for this exact measure in March and said at the time it was the right thing to do. The only thing that changed between now and then is that he thinks he's in more political jeopardy.
Well, they've also argued because of the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill. But can I ask
nonsense.
You...
Nonsense. Look at the facts.
That's the Democrats' argument. Can I ask you, earlier today, a Democrat came up to you, Congressman Madeline Dean from Pennsylvania, and basically she said, described it as confronting you over a post by the president last night of Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer after y'all's meeting at the White House.
Oh, that was just a jokey joke. Oh, that was just a jokey joke. Oh, that was a jokey joke. Oh, it was a little memer.
She was asking you if you believed it was racist and said that you should call it out. What is your description of what happened in that interaction?
So, as I always do, I'm the Speaker of the House, so I represent Republicans and Democrats in that capacity, and I always hear complaints and concerns from members, and I always stop and hear that. And I did that for Madeline Dean. I respect her as an individual. We disagree on every policy matter, and she was concerned about a social media post of the president who he meant as a joke, and we talked about that. I told her I disagreed with her perspective on it, but I tried to bring her back to the real issue. The fight tonight is not about social media posts. The fight is about whether they're going to keep the government open for the American people, and she's one that voted against that in the House. Quite literally, 2 weeks ago, when we pushed this measure through the House, the CR, the clean CR, she voted no. Every Democrat in the House except one voted no. They voted to close the government. And I wanted my friend Madeline to understand the importance of that. She herself had said many times in the past that closing the government would be dangerous for the people. And suddenly they've changed their tune, and I don't understand why.
One argument, she was arguing that it was a racist post. One argument that we've also seen from Democrats is that House Republicans should be here because House Democrats are here. Hakeem Jeffries has described it as they've been sent on vacation. Do you have any plans to bring them back anytime soon?
Of course. Everybody will be back next week. We have the Jewish high holiday of Yom Kippur on Wednesday and Thursday. We were never intended or scheduled to be in session on those days. There's always honor holidays every year. So Friday would really be the only day to do any legislative business. But if the government shut down, there's not a big point. There's not a lot of floor activity that can be had until we open the government again. So the House has done its job. Everybody's homeworking in their district.
Wait, do they take Yom Kippur off? The fuck?
It's right now. They'll be back next week, of course.
Israel.
And we'll see what happens. I'm very hopeful that over the next few days, the Democrats in the Senate will come to their senses. Leader Thune is going to put the bill on the floor repeatedly and give them more and more chances. You saw tonight, a couple of more Democrats peeled off. They don't want to be part of this. They don't want to be blamed for the government shutdown. And I hope more of them come to their senses. I certainly hope and pray that that happens by early next week. And we...
Well, I just feel like nobody ever acknowledges the insanely bad effects COVID had in our economy. I see people constantly complaining about the cost of shit over the past few years. It seems like COVID in the U.S. Narrowly avoided a recession is just memory hold. No. Oh, you're so wrong, my dude. People acknowledge COVID. Of course they do. What do you think the Republicans' excuse is for Trump's last year being so fucking horrible in office? That's when COVID happened and ended right when he left office, though. And then as soon as Biden comes in, then it gets memory hold. So you're half correct. They only memory hold half of COVID, but the first part that happened under Trump's term, well, that's why everything, you know, went to shit under Trump. But no, for Biden, I think I even had a debate. I think I brought that up twice before. Yeah, because it's so unbelievable to me when people are like, oh, all this inflation. It's like, why do you think the inflation happened? Like, are you forgetting something? And then they say, like, government spending is like, why did the government spend? What was going on? But they'll never actually... Yeah.
Can all get back to the people's business here. That's the plan.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, in your words, we will see what happens if we're here next week.
One thing that Katie Collins does that I really appreciate, every single person on the left needs to do this, is she'll reiterate her point before quickly moving on to the next thing when he tells a fucking lie.
Voted no. They voted to close the government.
Hold on.
And I wanted my friend to understand the importance.
Oh, Kaylin, not Katie? Sorry.
She herself has said many times in the past that closing the government would be dangerous for the people. And suddenly they changed their tune, and I don't understand why.
One argument, she was arguing that it was a racist post. One argument that we've also...
She summarizes what the question was about. She was arguing it was a racist post. And then she goes on and says, she's done this like 5 or 6 times in this conversation. She's really good at that. I really appreciate that.
So you mentioned...
Also, I like how this guy has had time to do like 500 fucking interviews. Oh my God.
So you mentioned $1.5 trillion. $1 trillion of that is to reverse Medicaid cuts that you put in this big, beautiful bill.
Medicaid reforms, not cuts. Well, now, don't take my word for it.
It's less spending.
Don't take
my
word for
it. You can call
it what you want. The CBO, Congressional Budget Office, which everybody cites and CNN does all the time, is the neutral arbiter of all these things. They came out with a report on August 25th, just several weeks back. And they said, you know what happened in that big, beautiful bill? This is what we project. It's going to save Medicaid. It's going to strengthen Medicaid. Why? Because they CBO, not Republicans. CBO said 2.3 million improper enrollments are involved in Medicaid right now. What is that? Illegal aliens, young, able-bodied men without dependents who are riding the wagon and should be working instead. Our legislation strengthens Medicaid because we kick those people off. They were not entitled. Medicaid is intended for U.S. citizens who are young, pregnant women, disabled, or elderly, not these other categories.
But once this goes into effect, which is after the midterms, people will feel cuts who are not necessarily...
Yeah, those young, able-bodied men who are sitting home playing video games?
Not just them.
Look at the studies.
Is that... what are the studies that show that? I just don't see those people consuming very much healthcare. Like young men, 20 to 30, able-bodied young men. How much healthcare? How many times are these guys going to the hospital? I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. How non-disabled Medicaid recipients without children spend their time. The reconciliation bill passed by the U.S. House of Representatives imposes community engagement requirements for childless non-disabled Medicaid recipients aged 19 to 64. The requirement can be met by spending 80 hours in at least some months either working, going to school, participating in a work program, or doing community service. In a previous analysis, found that between 40 and 56% of childless non-disabled Medicaid recipients aged 19 to 64 would not have been in compliance. What is this study? 40, okay, so about half of childless non-disabled Medicaid recipients weren't working? 40 to 50 of childless, non-disabled Medicaid recipients. When you start adding all those qualifiers, I always say you got to be real careful because usually somebody's doing something sneaky there. But I'm curious what only 44% of non-disabled working age Medicaid recipients without children worked in the same month that they were receiving Medicaid. Thus, the majority of recipients subject to a monthly work requirement would need to work additional hours or else face... Wait. Only 44% of non-disabled working-age Medicaid recipients without children worked in the same month they were receiving Medicaid. I must be missing something. Doesn't that make sense? Like, if you were working and earning money, then you would probably have a higher chance of not qualifying for Medicaid, no? Less than half of Medicaid recipients work enough to comply with a work requirement. That's a much broader title than childless... Wait, what was the non-disabled, working age, childless? Share of non-disabled adults without children. Share of non-disabled adults without children who worked at least 80 hours in December 2022 by age and Medicaid receipt. Okay. Medicaid recipients and non-Medicaid recipients. Wait, what does a non-Medicaid recipient mean? Does that mean you're not getting Medicaid? Or does that mean you're getting something else? It just means you're not a Medicaid recipient. Okay. Author's calculations based on 2023 survey of income and program participation. Notes, individuals are counted as non-disabled if they do not receive Supplemental Security Income or any other disability income in December 22. Parents living with their own children under the age of 18 are excluded. Parents living with their own children... under the age of 18 are excluded. Figure 2 reports. Wait, why would you exclude those? Non-Medicaid recipients. Medicaid recipients who weren't working. I don't know why you would exclude those. Wait. Was this a study or was this just him putting together one chart? He said his analysis. Figure 2 reports the number of Medicaid recipients by age group. As of December 2022, there were 19.6 million Medicaid recipients between the ages of 18 and 64 who were not disabled and did not have children, and 8.8 million between the ages of 25 and 54. Together, Figure 1 and 2 shares Medicaid work requirements would target a large number of recipients, many of whom do not currently work a sufficient number of hours to comply. Thus, work requirements could have important effects on Medicaid expenditures, coverage, and employment. Millions of non-disabled adults without children in December 2022 by age of Medicaid. Non-disabled adults without children. I don't understand this. This seems retarded to me. I would imagine the applying for Medicaid would probably increase if you lose your job or something. That would be my assumption. And then doing this on just like a monthly analysis. Like, there are so many other ways that you could crunch numbers here to look for something more interesting than this. Like, this is like this is an example of a guy who went to enough high school to learn how to put together like a shitty graph, but then was too retarded to make it any further because he couldn't ask good questions about his data, right? Like, there are so many other ways you could crunch numbers here. Like, of the Medicaid recipients that are childless, not disabled, and not working, like, what do they look like? What does that average worker look like over time? Because, like, for instance, let's say that you crunched the data and you found out that they spent, like, on average, like, 1 year not working. Okay, maybe you have something there. But what if, like, the average time not working was, like, 2 months? Okay, well, then it seems like these are people that are just, like, hopping onto Medicaid after they've lost a job. And then they, you know, they use it in between. There's some friction here of like, but we don't know. This is fucking retarded. Why am I looking at this? What is this dog shit website? AEI, American Enterprise Institute. Is this some, I feel like I've looked at retarded shit from this site before. I don't know. Okay. This was in 2022 when inflation and unemployment were going crazy. Oh shit. True. Was that 2022? Daily hours spent in various activities by Medicaid receipt and work status, non-disabled adults aged 19 to 64 without children and not in school. Medicaid recipients and non-Medicaid recipients. TV and video games, 4.2 hours per day. Oh no. Oh no. Housework and errands, 4 hours. I mean, it seems to be a little bit less than non-Medicaid recipient non-workers versus Medicaid recipient non-workers. I don't know. Okay.
Republican and Democrat kitties cannot agree on what should be funded. Democrat kitties want you to have health care. Republican kitties do not. Republican kitties control the Senate, House, and the White House, so they're using that to cut your health care and give money to billionaires. Democrat kitty tries to negotiate, but Republican kitty keeps running away. He has a vacation to get to. Uh-oh. Suddenly, the money you pay for your health insurance has tripled. Thanks, Republicans. Republican and Democrat...
Based. Based. The DOJ website has been updated to say Democrats shut down the government, HUD 2. Just little things that remind you. We're now ruled by savages who don't even at least have the pretense that the government service is a real thing. Seems small, but it's telling. Quick takes. Less than 1% of total Medicaid spending goes to emergency care for non-citizen immigrants. Non-citizen immigrants means this would include green card holders, right? $27 billion in federal and state spending between 2017 and 2023. But this also makes sense, too. Like, immigrants in general are going to consume less health care than native people because they're going to tend to be younger. And on the aggregate, they're probably going to be healthier, right? You're probably not getting too many people who are dying of cancer immigrating to the United States. You're probably not getting many people who are, like, 80 years old immigrating to the United States. Probably going to be people who tend to be younger. Probably going to be people who tend to be healthier on the average. Maybe not significantly healthier, but not people that are dying of shit. There's a whole bunch of, like, you have to get immunizations and do health checks to get immigration status to the United States. Yeah. Now, maybe when they get older, maybe they'll consume more. Who knows, but... Good news, patriots. With Washington shut down, I, Gavin C. Newsom, am now the leader of the free world. My platform is very simple. Healthcare for all Americans. No measles. Free school meals. Wow. Pudding for everyone. Free childcare. The moms love me. More babies. Good paying jobs and no more evil tariffs. Eggs will be free. Hair gel subsidies will be available, but only for handsome Democrats. And we will also legalize cannabis. Crime will stay low and everyone will be high on patriotism. And no more Ticketmaster fees for the Swifties. feast day for Kid Rock. They will chant USA USA because we will be back and hotter than ever before. Thank you, GCN.